B-Pod Studios.
This is Checkpoint XP.
Esports and gaming radio.
CheckpointXP.com.
So, Ninja thinks playing esports is easier than playing football? Are you kidding me, Ninja? Welcome into Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP, we're going to take a look at some of the roster madness in Overwatch League as well as the LCS. Plus, we've got a brand new game Weird Beard has brought to us. We're going to see if we can guess the game by the sound effects it makes. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP. But Ninja, man, Ninja over the weekend making some tweets that definitely turned some heads. Robbie, what can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so the mega streamer went to Twitter and he said, "I'll never understand how college and NFL football teams allow kickers that just miss kicks. I feel like there has to be a pool of kickers in the USA that won't miss simple kicks or snappers that won't miss snaps. I don't know, man. It seems so silly."
Sure,
man.
Sure. Let me ask you a question, Ninja, if I can ask it to the ether. When was the last time you were on an athletic field of any kind?
He wouldn't. He
of hasn't. Any kind. Not as a special guest or a representative of esports or streaming or video games or whatever. When was the last time you actually got on a field of play to try to compete against another person or team?
Do you think that if Ninja threw the first pitch at a baseball game and make it over the plate?
No!
Absolutely not. That's 90 feet, bro.
Are you kidding me with those buggy whip arms? No! No, yeah. He's not making it anywhere near the plate.
Yeah, so someone had actually went and parroted his tweet in a classic meme fashion, which people have done before, and basically just put Fortnite in place of football. It says, "I'll never understand how pro Fortnite players just miss shots. I feel like there has to be pools of pro players who can just click on their heads and hit every shot with 100% accuracy. Just seems so silly." To which Ninja did not take kindly to this. He said, "This is the crappiest reply ever. Fortnite requires movement, editing, building, rotating, and hitting shots.
Here we go.
There are not positions in Fortnite. A kicker's job is literally just to kick. How horrible analogy,
right?
Kind of embarrassing."
Okay, listen, let me hop in on this as, you know,
no,
the guy.
No, Fortnite's harder than football.
No,
they just have to kick a ball.
No, I'm not going
to
argue.
They have to worry about 17 different keybinds.
No, I am not going to argue the fact that this is literally this is the bottom of the barrel of comparison between video games and actual sports, of esports and actual sports. There is no true analogous real comparison to going outside, putting on pads, and kicking the ball.
And the thing that makes this so cringeworthy is just how visible Ninja is.
Yeah.
Because so often in our own line of work, we get people who are like diehard sports fans, or they work at a sports radio station. They look at us and they go, "You know, I just don't get it. I don't understand esports. I do not understand it." And if you explain it to them through the lens of competition, they generally end up getting it.
Yeah.
But it also comes with the caveat that, like, yeah, these two things are not exactly the same. They're not exactly the same. They're the same in spirit. So having that physicality in sports is such a necessary element to traditional sports, and there is none of that in esports. I'm sorry, but this holds no water whatsoever.
It doesn't, but it also goes to the entire critique of anyone who does, you know, sports or plays anything competitively, be esports or traditional sports, is a concept that it's as simple as walking out and kicking the ball, that it is as simple as clicking the left mouse button.
I do have to wonder who he was watching, though. Because, I mean, if he was watching the Lions play,
it was definitely the Lions.
Then I get why they were missing kicks.
Here's the thing. I would have loved to see another meme reply from an actual kicker that responded directly to Ninja, where they brought all of the different variables that you have to consider. Wind speed, offense, defense, your, you know, the
11
snap,
other people.
Snap placement. Yep. All of those kinds of things, you know, those variables are what matters when kicking the kick. So I would have loved to see that response. Unfortunately, I don't think that response exists out there.
But this does us no favors.
No, it does us no favors. We don't look good. Esports and fans of video games look foolish and childish. You do not try to compare these two things, because one of them is definitely not like the other.
Stay close to the heat.
Close? Shade. Turn up. On Checkpoint XP.
All right, it's time for Checkpoint XP's Close Shave of the Week. And this week's Close Shave goes to Team Liquid, more specifically Nitro, for pulling out a 4-kill round on the map Vertigo, all on the way to Team Liquid clutching the first map in a best of 3 series.
3 players take a remaining, sorry, for Team Liquid as a Legion. That one lost immediately, but Nitro is trying to force his way back into this. He will do exactly that. With 3 kills, and he's still alive with position and the bomb.
And of course, he's covering the close angles. Zipex, he's going to spot him first, though. Nice front eye peek, but there's the second play. He's got no idea. He's got no idea that Nitro is here, and this should complete the quad kill. Easy stuff for Nitro. What an absolutely disgusting series of kills from him.
While Team Liquid did eventually fall to Astralis in the grand finals, which was a best of 3 series, this round specifically launched Liquid into the driver's seat of 2 close maps that would have been out of reach if not for Nitro igniting the offense. Check out the Checkpoint XP Close Shave of the Week at our website, checkpointxp.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio.
Boy, the beat goes on for WWE 2K20.
Oh, no.
The game is so bad that there are now rumors of a bunch of members of the development team jumping ship. In fact, we got this little piece of audio from Justin Leeper, a former employee who worked on some of the WWE titles, and this is what he had to say.
I've actually heard about double-digit people on the team who have quit, and they haven't like left for other stuff. They just quit because, like, man, I don't want this stink on me anymore. You know, I don't care what I'm doing. I'm leaving. I'm taking my stuff and going.
So WWE 2K20 being received poorly, both on in terms of customers and in terms of developers. This is made for a really bad situation for anyone who is a really big fan of the WWE 2K games.
The fact that it's still going on is, I think, what surprises me the most, because there have been bad game launches before, and in most cases, a lot of those games recover, right? The game gets fixed. You have ongoing patches that happen.
But that's the main thing there, is that the games can get fixed nowadays. And that was, you know, when you come out with a bad game, you could patch it through. But if the development team is in such low morale, is such a bad spot, that game can't get fixed.
And in fact, that's exactly what's going on with WWE 2K20. Many patches, I think now 2 patches have been issued for WWE.
And it's still not fixed.
Fixed.
Oh, that's a development problem for sure.
One of the patches stated that hair had been fixed. Specifically,
just in general?
Just hair. And then when users went to go find where the hair had been supposedly fixed, the only thing that they could find is one wrestler's entrance where the hair glitch had been fixed, and that's it. So a lot of the updates that are rolling out for WWE 2K20 are woefully inadequate for fixing the amount of problems that exist in this game.
Yeah, and that's the part of what I'm saying, is that the whole paradigm has been shifted and allows developers to go in and fix these things. But I think also hearing this kind of stuff and hearing, you know, the toxic environments that a lot of developers are going through, as we know, this game was something that had changed development hands.
Yes.
For this year's iteration of WWE. And if that environment is not positive, if they didn't feel supported, it comes through in the actual product. And we see it. We see that this game was not made by people who wanted to make that game.
Here's the most insane factoid I have from this story. Yuke's, one of the developers that had co-developed WWE the entire series all the way up to 2K19, exited the series at 2K19.
Oh.
Okay? Now, this is your first big hint. But the big thing about this is that 2K got access and permission to use every single digital asset that had been developed up until that point.
So why does everything look downscale to generation?
That's my question. That's my question. Why does it all look so bad? But this brings even a bigger question. When a game releases in this state, does a developer have the duty, have the responsibility to their audience to go out and through patches fix the problem?
Unequivocally, yes.
Electronic Arts doesn't think so.
But that's the problem is that too many developers don't. And I can't necessarily just put that at the foot of EA wholly. Because when they got the pressure put on them from Battlefront and the loot boxes and the microtransactions,
that was only because it hadn't come out yet and they didn't get their first payday. What happened with Andromeda and its DLC?
Oh, that game died.
Nothing.
Yeah,
they
just shot.
What happened with Anthem after it launched?
No, they fixed the glitches. They just didn't put in the DLC, so they didn't continue support for the game.
Same thing with Anthem now.
But the point is that did they fix what was broken? Technically, yes. But it behooves developers to go in and do that, because if people are going to pay $60 for a game, when a lot of games may not warrant $60 worth of investment, especially smaller experiences, it behooves you to go in and fix your glitches, period.
But take a game like No Man's Sky, who actually did commit to doing that after they got held over the
That's they were facing lawsuits.
Because
it was false advertising.
Their feet were literally in the fire, and they went back to the drawing board and fixed a lot of the issues that they had to. Now, whether you want to say that was to avoid getting into some legal hot water, or whether they were trying to actually deliver on their original vision, I'll let that to be the listeners to decide. But this does have precedence, and this does exist elsewhere in the gaming development community. But listen, we want to hear from you. What is your take on the catastrophe that is WWE 2K20? Did you buy it? Do you hate it? Do you love it? Or is everyone out there crazy and wrong? Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we're going to talk about some of the big roster madness changes that have rocked the Overwatch League as well as the LCS. Stick around, those conversations still ahead here on Checkpoint XP, but ahead next, we'll check in with Robbie over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
It's roster madness! Woo! For OWL and the LCS. There's a lot of trades going on. We're going to tell you all the trades you need to know for the 2020 season right here on Checkpoint XP. I want to thank everyone listening out in Indiana on 1220 and 97.9 WSLM in Salem and WSBT 960 in South Bend. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, the other identity, and low team damage. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this holiday season. Check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. The OWL has been on fire with a lot of trades recently, a lot of talent going to a lot of different teams. Robbie and Norris are OWL experts in the studio with me, and I got to ask you guys, what are some of the biggest trades that we've seen so far in this offseason?
Well, I think one of the most recent ones was seeing legendary support Ryu Jaehong leave the Seoul Dynasty, and we found out that he finally got picked up by the Vancouver Titans, which they don't know that he could have went to a better team. The only big concern that I have is that they also dropped both of their tanks and picked up formerly retired Fissure, who is now, this is now his fourth team that he's been through. And I
coming out of
it.
Retirement?
Yeah.
Yeah, a grand total of, what, 4 months in retirement. here's the thing about Fissure. Fissure has had a lot of, or had a bad reputation, if you
he's
will,
a
to be
child.
A bit of a problem. That's a good word for it, a bit of a problem child. And now going to the Vancouver Titans, which is a all-Korean roster, which he said that was his big issue
also
playing
with Seoul Dynasty.
For Los Angeles. But so was Seoul Dynasty. So there seems to be, you know, a lot of excuses coming from a guy like Fissure, but we will see if a championship caliber team will have him rise to that level.
The real tank to watch out for is former NYXL. Mecco just got traded to the Houston Outlaws, which I think is a great move. I mean, Muma's already their main tank, which I, you know, is a great one as well. But with the home and away season coming, you're going to need to be able to swap back and forth between potential tanks. And I think Mecco was a great
pickup. I'm going
to
push back on that. I think the better pickup for Houston was Harsha Bandy as head coach.
Obviously.
I mean, I know it's not a trade per se, but I think that is just as important, if not more important.
I mean, they've got like a lot of great pickups. Hydration as well.
That's right.
Gamsu going to the Dallas Fuel was one that nobody saw coming, but I think the fact that he's been teamed up with Note again.
And the better tank pickup.
Oh, yeah, no,
opinion.
Dallas is going to look really great in the tank line. And then finally, I wanted to highlight Bishu is going back to the Gladiators. I think they're really going to need him. The fact that they lost so much of what their core roster was, having a familiar face on the team is going to be a big boon for the Gladiators.
So at this point in the offseason, what are the teams that you're just based off of the roster changes, who are the teams that you're looking at in the 2020 season?
Yeah, you definitely got to say Houston now. You definitely got to say Toronto Defiant because they picked up like 80,000 people. And you also, in my opinion, have to look out for the Los Angeles Gladiators.
I'm going to say yes to all those as well.
All right. Well, we're going to take a look at the LCS trades here in just a minute, but it's time for Nailed It and Failed It.
You know who this is.
From the high highs to the low lows.
Turn it up.
And who failed it
on Checkpoint XP Radio.
This week we start off with Nailed It. An Apex Legends player made an impossible shot with the least likely weapon. Mikey Skates and his team dropping up from up on high to push on a team, and Mikey playing Bangalore shot his smoke grenade to cover their approach.
Two other squads left.
Eliminated.
No way is right, because that smoke grenade actually managed to connect with one of the enemy players, dealing 11 damage, but it was enough to make the kill. Stick around, because next hour we'll find out who failed it, and as always, find Nailed It and Failed It over at our website, checkpointxp.com.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
All right, now to take a look at the LCS, and obviously we've got Norris here in the seat, but joining us... Oh my God, it's Joe!
Yeah! Oh, man, you leave the show, you get to come back with entrance music.
That's some BS. I want entrance music.
You don't get entrance music. You get to be here every single week. Now we've got Joe joining us to talk about some of the biggest trades over on the LCS side of things.
Yeah, and in League of Legends, it really does start and end with Cloud9 this year. I mean, the big moves that we've seen with them, they've lost Sneaky. He's announced that he's going to be doing something else, what we don't really
more
know.
More cosplay.
I would imagine more cosplay, because that's, from what I can tell, what where more people know him from.
And he's really, really good at it. So yeah,
so
more cosplay is fine.
Yes.
They've picked up Sven from Team Solo Mid to replace Sneaky in the bot lane. They also lost two other big players, though, Svenskeren and Zazel, heading over to Evil Geniuses.
MVP Svenskeren.
Yeah, the Summer Split MVP leaving Cloud9 and going to Evil Geniuses. C9 is going to be a vastly different-looking team come the 2020 season.
Yeah.
Looking at 100 Thieves, Afromu, he announced that he's going to be leaving the team shortly. I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't think Aphromoo was really getting it done on 100 Thieves.
100 Thieves needed a new look. I mean, they were by far one of the more disappointing stories out of the summer split, considering really the whole season, considering how their 2018 went. So I hope to see them be a little bit more competitive.
They
but,
can't do any worse, right?
I mean, yeah, they can. But
on that note, they do pick up Cody's son.
Yes.
That's a
big pickup.
Great pickup for them. I'm really excited to see how he's going to be performing in the bottom lane. I want to talk to you for a minute about Broxa going to Team Liquid. So he's coming out of the European region to go to Team Liquid, replacing X-Smithy on that roster. X-Smithy, the only player to not win the MVP for his spot last summer, which I thought was kind of crap. I thought he probably deserved it. I don't think Brox is a very big improvement over X-Smithy. I think he is an improvement. I think he's a little bit better. But that's not really one that moves the denim for me.
Well, and I don't think the issue in particular with Team Liquid and how they perform internationally is the jungle per se. I think it's a part of it. But I think front to back, I mean, Team Liquid may have to be a team that really just looks at how they're performing. And really the most disappointing player was Jensen. And Jensen was supposed to be the answer for them in mid lane, and he was the most disappointing player by far at Worlds.
You know, and that's kind of my opinion about free agency in League of Legends this year, is we saw the super team last year. We saw supposedly the best North America could possibly have to offer in Team Liquid last year, and it wasn't enough to get it done. So as much fun as it is to watch free agency, don't we need to start looking towards the next generation of talent?
What is the feeder system for League of Legends? Where are you bringing talent up from? So, where would you even see talent that would be able to be brought into the LCS?
So this is where I said it starts and ends with Cloud9. I think Cloud9 has something they get to really hang their hat on. A few years ago, when every team founded their academy roster, most of them went, okay. Cloud9's academy team, all five players on that roster now have starting gigs in the LCS this coming 2020 season. So if there is a model to follow for how to scout and bring up young talent, look no further than Cloud9.
Cloud9 might be in the best position to go back to the drawing board and to just have a complete year where they're doing a whole rebuild of their entire squad, and maybe that's where we start seeing some new blood in there. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Are you excited for the 2020 season of LCS and OWL? Tell us why. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _ XP on Instagram. And when you do, make sure you use the hashtag XP on air. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP, we'll check in with Robbie over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update. That's ahead in the next hour of Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we've got a game that Weirdbeard has brought to us. We're going to see if we can guess the video game just by hearing its sound effects. Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP.
Hey, this is Joe with the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar, letting you know about the latest esports competitions to look forward to in the coming weeks. The major esports leagues are currently on break, but they'll be back in early 2020. Call of Duty League is set to debut on January 24th, while the Overwatch League returns on February the 8th. December will play host to the Capcom Cup, bringing the world's best Street Fighter players together. That event will run from December 13th through the 15th in Los Angeles. December 13th through the 15th will also play host to the DreamHack Open in Sevilla, welcoming CSGO players from around the world. Wrapping up the esports year will be Epicenter 2019 in Moscow. That'll be running from December 17th through the 22nd. As we get into the new year, Dota 2 will welcome us back off the holiday break with DreamHack League Season 13 running from January 18th through the 26th. And Battle Royales are actually on an extended holiday break. They'll be returning to action with DreamHack Anaheim that starts in mid-February. That's it for the Checkpoint XP Save the Date calendar. And remember, for all the latest in the world of esports, check out our website. That's over at CheckpointXP.com.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.